Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Monday. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity once again to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world that you listen to this broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over there, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, but if the Lord gives them to us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So we thank God for another blessed day. And wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for another blessed day, another opportunity you've given us to go into the Word of God today. Father, I pray that you will be glorified on this broadcast as I come with your Word to those who are tuning in and listening. And to those who are listening, no matter what part of the world they're listening at, Father, I pray they will sense the presence of your Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that your Spirit would illuminate the minds of the people this day and their hearts, Lord God, that they may understand the will of the Lord Jesus Christ for our lives. So, Lord God, I give you all the glory and honor and praise and magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory, glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed day. Thank God for all you've been listening. We are continuing on in a series of health, healing, sickness, disease. We're going into part two of a certain section of the series. And I want to say before I get started, to those of you that are listening, no matter what part of the world you're listening at, I want to alert you that during this series, and I'm talking about the series as a whole of the different sections, I want to reiterate once again, you're going to hear me mention two other books also besides the Bible. And these two books are also the Word of God. It contains the Word of God that goes with the Bible, okay? And I'm not going to rehearse where, you know, because some of you may say, well, what are, for example, these two books, one is called The Word of the Lord, one is called The Record of Nephi. That's for those of you who are first-time listeners. And I told you on part one and on the other sections of this series about these books, where to find it at. On this broadcast, in the episodes place where you can hear what these books are dealing with that Jesus Christ have caused to come about. And though for those of you that are first-time listeners, when you hear me mention, okay, I'm coming with a scripture from the Word of the Lord, or I'm coming from a scripture from the Record of Nephi, and you're saying, what is these books? What is these books about? If you listen, you listen to me on this page, you should be able to click on the God's Word to Man logo. And if you, and when you do, it should, a Dropbox should show, episodes in it. Click on episodes and it will show you all the past episodes, of what we did. If not the God's Word to Man logo, it might be a little picture of a little Bible on the right hand side. You should be able to click on that, and a Dropbox will show episodes. And I'm saying this because today, this evening, we're dealing with health, healing, sickness, and disease, Jesus' Will, Part 2. Jesus' Will, Part 2. And for those of you, you know, who are listening and you say, hey, what are these books about? If you go in the episodes and go back and listen to part one of this part of the series, and even all the other episodes, all the other parts to this series of health healing disease, health healing sickness and disease, you will hear me explain to you the name of what broadcast on this God's Word Demand page that you can listen to learn more about these books of the Word of the Lord. So I just want to make you aware of that, but I will give unto you, once again, my name is Brother Nathaniel Hunt. I belong to the Church of Christ, the Lies and Message. And if you want to order any of the messages from the book called The Word of the Lord, it's 120 messages. They cost 75 cents per dozen. You can the name of the church is Church of Christ, the Lies and Message. The headquarters is in Independence, Missouri, 608 Lacey Road. Now, you can call 1-800-752-1507. That's 1-800-752-1507. Or you can, if you don't get nobody by that number, you can call area code 816-252-2343. That's area code 816-252-2343. If you want to order any of the messages, like I said, they're 75 cents per dozen. If you want to order the other book called The Record of the Nephite, it costs $8 to order that book. Call that number and you can put in that order. Amen. Now, having cleared that up, we're going to go on in this series, and we're going to open up from the Bible, from the book of Acts chapter 21. The book of Acts chapter 21, glory be to God, and I'm going to read verse 10 to verse 14, and verse 14 is going to be our key verse today. The book of Acts chapter 21. Verses 10 to verse 14. And people, I want you to understand something, that this series is very important, and it's very important for all in these last days. Amen. Because we're living in a time now, and I want you to understand that we are going to encounter diseases that even though doctors and them say they got vaccines for it, the diseases are going to come stronger. The vaccines is not going to be strong enough for it. In fact, this also is helpful for those of you who've been diagnosed with different diseases and sicknesses where the medical field told you that there is no hope, that there is no cure, okay? Amen. And you need to know what the Lord Jesus has to say about it. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 21, verse 10, it said, "And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus says the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, The will of the Lord be done." Now, we've been looking at and answering a question concerning this part of the series, health, healing, sickness, and disease. What is the will of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning this? Is it his will for us to be in health and healing, or is it his will for us to be in sickness and disease? Now, as I said to you guys before, at one point among the Christian community, there had been a kind of a separation over this issue, which it shouldn't be. Because personally, I see the Word of God being clear on the subject, okay? But it had been a little separation on this part because you had some that, you know, you had where there was many that said, okay, it's Jesus' will for us to be healed. Then you had some in the community say, you know, it is the Lord's will for you to be sick, party, humility, you know, all that. Well, we're dealing with health, healing, sickness, and disease, Jesus' will, part two. Now, in part one, I went to explain to you and show you, as I'm going to do here again in part two, that it is the will of the Lord Jesus for you to be in health and healing. Okay? It is not, and I will repeat, it is not Jesus' will for you to be sick. Amen. It is not Jesus' will for you to be sick. And we went on a journey to see how is this so. And I mentioned to you guys, to those who had listened to part one, that Jesus shows us it is his will in what he did and what he suffered. Okay? What he did and what he suffered. Now, in part one, we looked at how that, we was looking at what he suffered. And we looked at how that from the word of God that we went about with the word of the Lord and the Bible, we come to understand that Jesus gave himself a ransom. And that's one of the things he suffered. Our Lord God incarnated in the flesh and gave himself a ransom that we may be healed, that we don't have to walk around sick or be sick. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And the last thing we looked at in dealing with that is how that Jesus gave himself a ransom that we may be redeemed from sickness and disease. Now, we talked about, or we looked at, what does redeem or even the word redemption mean, okay? And I gave you some definitions of the word redeem or redemption. Redemption meaning the act, process, or instance of redeeming. And so from there, I gave you definitions of what does the word redeem. Because if redemption means the act of redeeming, what does redeem mean? Well, redeem means to buy back or repurchase. It also means to free from distress or harms, to free from captivity by payment of ransom. And it also means to free from the consequences of sin. So Jesus gave himself to be a ransom. And since we're talking about health, healing, sickness, and disease, he gave himself to be a ransom, okay, that we may be delivered or freed from sickness and disease, that we may be free from its captivity, okay? Hallelujah. That we may be free from the consequences where sickness and disease can have a hold of us, that is from sin. Amen. Now, any of you that have been dealing with sickness and disease, especially over a period of time, you know what I'm telling you is true, that sickness and disease bring captivity. It has you captive, you know. You ever watch a movie where, let's say, when some people have somebody captive, well, many times they had them captive in chains and bonds, but they had them to a point where they can't move or go nowhere, okay? Well, that's what sickness and disease does to anybody, amen? Sickness and disease is not a friend of anyone, okay? Sickness and disease does not help you. It keeps you in captivity and bondage. It distresses you. It harms you. That's what sickness and disease does, okay? Hallelujah. And from what we saw in the other section about in dealing with the open doors, that open doors can bring sickness. Sickness is also comes many times from the consequences of sin, okay? But either way it go, it is not a friend. It is not a help. It is not, quote, a blessing. None of that. And sometimes you hear words like this, shockingly, even from the Christian community. You hear words like blessing and stuff associated and connected with sickness and disease, and that is not true. Sickness is not a blessing. Sickness is a curse. Disease is not a blessing. It is a curse. Amen? And we got to understand that. I think that that's one of the I'm trying to find the right word to phrase it. It's one of the things that we need to probably compute in our mind first, that sickness and disease is a curse. Now, mostly people in their right thinking don't want to be cursed. Okay. Now, if you want to be cursed, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to be funny. Something's wrong with you. Okay. I'd rather be blessed, okay, and not cursed. Now, having said that, we're going on here. Now, like I said, Jesus redeemed us, and he gave himself as a ransom that we may be redeemed or delivered or freed from sickness and disease, okay? Hallelujah. So, we're going to let the Word of God answer this even more about what did Jesus redeem us from, which proves that it is his will for us to be healed. But like I told you, sickness and disease. Well, let's let Paul answer that along the lines too also. Let's go to the book of Galatians in the Bible here, chapter 3. The book of Galatians, chapter 3. Amen. Verse 13. For anyone that say, well, okay, you said Jesus, he redeemed us. He went forth to, he gave himself a ransom so we can be delivered, or he had delivered us from that which has you in captivity, harm, distresses you, all of that. Well, guess what? Sound like to me the description of sickness and disease. Okay? Healing doesn't have you captive, per se. It don't have you distressed out. Okay? It's sickness and disease. Amen? Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Now, watch what Apostle Paul said. He said, Christ, okay? Now, before we go any further, he didn't say Buddha, okay? This is why if you're going to be a true believer of Christ, you're going to have to stand for Christ, okay? And in these last days, your belief in Christ is going to be challenged more and more. See, some of you wants to just go in church service and holler Jesus out and roll on the floor, kick in the air, but as soon as you get from under the church building walls, you want to be a different person outside. So when people start talking about you the one believing that Jesus stuff, you either want to keep your mouth closed or you want to mumble or you want to fumble at your words. So here the Apostle Paul said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now the Apostle Paul said, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Okay, the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Now, notice he didn't say that Christ redeemed us from the law. Okay, but he got more specific. He said Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Okay, so there's a part in dealing with this law that either contains or is a curse. And that part of the law is what the Apostle Paul told us that Christ redeemed us from, okay? Amen. Do you follow what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Now, let's look at what is this curse of the law that Christ redeemed us from. Okay, let's look at that. Hallelujah. Let's go, first of all, we're going to go to two places in the Old Testament. Let's first go to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to let Moses answer this question because, see, we know that Moses wrote, I believe it was the first five books in the Bible here. God gave them to him to write. And he talks about and let you know this curse of the law. Okay? Amen. And for us to understand when Paul, what curse, what was Paul talking about? When he said Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, we want to come to understand that because once again, what Christ did and what he suffered proves without a shadow of a doubt that he wants you to be healed and not sick. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Now, look what the Word of God says. This is what the Lord God told Adam when he placed him in the garden and gave him a job to do. And he told him, he said, all the fruits of the trees of the garden. In fact, in verse 16, he said, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But, okay, now, he said, I'm going to show you. He said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die, shalt surely die. Now, the curse of the law is threefold, okay? The curse of the law is threefold. Here's one of them, okay? One of them is death. Now, when we talk about death here, I want you to understand that with dealing with death per se, there is three primarily ones or type of death that Christ redeemed us from. And that here that the Lord is talking about the day that you should that you should die. Now, one of them came to pass right then when Adam took of the forbidden fruit. But it opened up the door for a couple others. Now, you said the three deaths. What is the three deaths? Now, remember, I told you the curse is a threefold thing. And we're looking at the first one right now of that threefold. What was the other threefold? It was death, okay, which is divided itself into three parts. Okay, let's look at the three parts. Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter. In fact, wait a minute. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Thinking about another one we're going to go to. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, and let's look at one of them. Ephesians chapter 2. Like I said, we're going to be, you know, this is why it's called studying of the Word of God. So you're going to be doing some turning, so get your fingers ready. Your fingers going to be doing some exercising. I pray that you're doing some writing down, you know. Okay. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Now, look what the Word of God says. And you have he quickened. Quickened means made alive. Who were dead in trespass and sin, wherein in times past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, in verse 1, you see the word dead, okay? Now, Paul told the Christians at Ephesus that you were dead in trespass and sin. Then he said, where in time past ye walked. Now, if that death was literal death, and that walk is literal walk, then how can they walk if they was dead? I'm just taking a pause for a minute, let that sink in. They couldn't have, could it? So this dead right here couldn't have mean literal death. It don't mean literal death. This is one of the death right here. This dead is referred to here as spiritually dead. When you are spiritually dead, that means you are separated spiritually from God. That means that the life of the Lord is not in your spirit. Death is in your spirit. You are separated from God. So this is one of the deaths. It's called spiritual death. And all that is not born again today are spiritually dead. Amen. That's why Jesus said, I come that you may have life. And he came to what? Give eternal life. And to all that accept him as Lord shall receive eternal life. But those that reject him will remain spiritually dead. So you can be literally alive, but spiritually dead. So that's one of the deaths, spiritual death. Now, let's look at the second one. Let's go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Verse 26. James chapter 2, verse 26. James chapter 2, verse 26. And here's the second one. Now, before I read the second one, now, when we looked in Genesis 2 and 17, and the Lord told Adam, the day that you eat that fruit, you should die. Now, when you ask some people, say, well, when he ate the fruit, did he die? And people say, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. Well, no, he was still going around. He tied fig leaves. No, he died spiritually first. The day that the moment he partook of that fruit, spiritual death had a hold of him. Okay. Now, here's the second one. The second one is right here. James chapter 2, verse 26 said, for as the body, now it's talking about your literal body, without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So as your literal body without your spirit is dead, What is that? That's physical death, okay? See, when someone is physically dead, their spirit and soul is not in that body. So that's the other that's the other form of death. It's physical death, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let's look at the third one. And this third one is especially the greatest one because this is the end finale. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation chapter 20. I need to correct myself. Revelation chapter 20, okay? And I'm going to read verses 11 to verse 14. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to verse 14. And this is the third one right here. Amen? And the word of God says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." So the third death is referred to as the second death, okay? And you notice from what I read, those who was in hell, death in hell, they was also cast into the lake of fire, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. So the third one is the second death. So when the Lord told Adam, "The day that you eat that fruit, you shall die," these three forms of death is what went in operation. Number one, spiritual death. And the spiritual death brought what we know as physical death. And then it led overall to the second death. Okay? So, as I told you, when Galatians tell us that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, the curse of the law was threefold. The first one was death, which is divided into three parts: spiritual death, physical death, and second death. Okay? Now, having explained that to you, now let's go into further. Let's look at the second part. Let's look at the other two parts in dealing with the curse of the law so we can understand what Christ redeemed us from. And to see that even more, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Thank God for the word of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Thank you, Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, I'm going to look at verse 15 because this whole chapter here dealing with the law, you know, the first, what, 1 to about 13 verses or something like that, or I think it's 13 or 14 verses, that part of law displays the blessings. Okay? But here we're talking about the curse. Paul said that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we looked at one part of the curse, which was death. This one contains especially the other two. Now notice what it says. Verse 15. "But it shall come to pass, if thou would not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." So not only will the curses come on you, he said it's going to overtake you. Okay? See, that they're going to tear it out. They're going to humble you and tear your pride down because you got people thinking, "Oh, I ain't got to listen to the Lord and obey the Lord," and they think that whatever comes, I can take it. Okay, keep thinking that. See, notice he said the curses will not only just come upon you, but it will overtake you, okay? It will overpower you, okay? Amen. And so looking at verse 16, it said, "Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field.
cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Now I'm going to stop there. This is dealing with the second, the second part in dealing with the curse of the law is poverty. Poverty. Okay? Christ came to redeem us from poverty. You ain't got to run around broke, begging, shoes with holes in it, shirt with holes in it, pants with holes in it, you know, on Begging Avenue. I don't care what the Catholic Church be telling you, talking about that's a sign of humility. No, it ain't. Jesus came to redeem you from it. Now, let's look at the third one, and this is the one I really want to look at because this is dealing with this series we are on now. Okay? Now, the third one, and if we look at it, thank you, Jesus. Starting, let's look at verse 33. And it says, now, and before these verses, like from verse 18 to 32, it's still dealing with curses. Verse 33 said, the fruit of thy land and of thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt only be oppressed and crushed always. Okay? Be oppressed in your mind, burdened in your mind, you know. Glory to God. Always. Okay? So shall thou be mad for the sight of thy eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore box that cannot be healed. That's sickness, people. Now, look at verse 59, same chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 59. Because there's a lot of verses in here, and on your time, you can read the whole chapter. Verse 59 said, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. Do you see that? Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the disease of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. So the third one is sickness. He came to redeem us from sickness. Now, before we go any further, some of y'all, in looking at what I just read, 59:60, you'll look at it and it'll say, the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. And some of y'all are going, now, wait a minute now. If he came to deliver us from sickness and disease, why is it that he making us sick? Because when you read the verses like that, it's saying he's making us sick. Well, let me explain this to you, and something you need to understand, okay? The Bible was not originally written in English. Now, many of y'all listening know this. Some of y'all may not. The Bible was not originally written in English. It was written, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek. So since we're in the Old Testament, that means that it was first written in Hebrew. Now, with the Hebrew and their verb tenses, I don't know if all of them, but much of their verb tenses is in what is known as the permissive clause, okay? And so when the translators translated, let's say, through our language more has a causative clause, okay? So really, when it talks about then the Lord will make thy place wonderful, really what it really mean or what it really was saying originally is that God will permit or allow your plagues to be wonderful. Because, see, there's no sickness with God. When you read the Bible about heaven, how many of y'all read the Bible about heaven saying that, you know, there was sickness in heaven? Okay? You ain't read it, Andy. You're not going to read. How many of y'all read that there were angels up there who was going to the heavenly clinic? How many of y'all read that? You haven't read it, had you? No. Because there's no sickness. So, see, God will permit. See, because of the open door of sin, so he will permit it, okay? But once again, just like for me, example, I read the King James Bible. And when it's translated, most of your 10th verse are put in the causative sense, okay? But it really should have been in the permissive tense, that God would permit or allow these plagues to come, okay? Amen. Some say, well, what about when it said God sent this and sent that? Well, when God does the quote sending, that means he removed his hand. We got to understand, there's a lot of more stuff that can hit us. But because God got his hand up there blocking it, okay, it hadn't hit him. Now, when he do something as it referred to as sinning, that's when he removed his hand, okay? But sickness is not in God's bosom or possession because he's the Lord Jesus of healing, okay? So he permit these diseases and sickness to come, okay? Amen. So he came to redeem us from it because you got to understand, sickness and disease have a right to come when it's in connection with sin. Okay, so Christ and man, we know sins, okay? Not only Adam, but all through the line. All have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, okay? So everyone is guilty. So Christ came to redeem us, to deliver us from sickness and disease, who at one point had a right to us because of what? Sin, okay? The sin of Adam. What he did and opened up the door to this, and your personal sins, okay? Hallelujah. So he came to redeem us from it, therefore showing us that he wants us to be healed. Amen? Hallelujah. And see, from what we see here in the Word of God, when you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, Deuteronomy chapter 28 yourself, the whole chapter, and you go back to Genesis 2 and the scriptures I gave you about the three types of deaths, you will see and understand that the curse, this is what I want you to understand, and even when I talk to you about poverty, understand also what else you will see in this, that the curse of the law being threefold, which is death, sickness, and poverty, also shows that a curse, now I want you to hear this, that a curse can hit man in three realms. You say, well, what do you mean it can hit man in three realms? Well, spiritual realm, the soulish realm, and the physical realm. I repeat again. The spiritual realm, the soulish realm, and the physical realm. The spiritual realm, what I show you about spiritual death and the second death. The soulless realm, and your soul is made of your mind, will, and emotion. You read in Deuteronomy 28, it talks about, being astonished in mind and things like that, being your mind being affected, being oppressed. That's in the soulless realm. And then the physical realm, which is dealing with, let's say, your poverty, the sickness of hitting your body physically, okay? So a curse can hit you in any of the three realms. And want to go to the fullest, all three realms. The spiritual realm, the soulish realm, and the physical realm. Okay? And see, Christ came to redeem us from the curse, hitting us in all three realms. Amen. All three realms. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This should be proof. By him redeeming us, from what Paul tells us in Galatians 3, this also should be proof that, hey, he wants you to be healed. If Christ wanted you to be sick, he wouldn't have redeemed you from the curse of the law. And then that curse was sickness, right? If he wanted you to be sick, see, that's why I said to many Christians, some Christians who are saying this, and I do understand that some are saying this out of ignorance, because they repeating something that they may have heard. Some may have heard, quote, some of their pastors say this, you know, and they really haven't studied on the subject, and they actually think, you know, they trying to be helpful. But you have to think about it. Since the scripture shows us that Christ redeemed us from the curse and sickness was in the curse of the law, then if he wanted us to be sick, he would have never went through redeeming us. Because it makes no sense putting yourself in a position to go through what you went through, and we ain't went through the other, talked about the other stuff yet. It makes no sense to put yourself in that position if you wanted people to be sick. Amen. So he didn't want you. He didn't want you, and he don't want you to be sick. So anybody having their mind say, well, you know, if you have a sickness or a disease hitting you, and you going through distress, and all of a sudden you start thinking, Lord, do you want me to be sick? Well, we answering the question for you right now. The answer is no. No, he don't. Jesus don't want you to be sick. Amen. Not at all. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read a scripture from what is called the Word of the Lord book. Amen. This one of the books that I gave you the heads up about at the beginning of this broadcast. Amen. And I'm going to read a scripture out of one of the messages called Message 85, which is the 85th message that Jesus sent, meaning the 85th time he sent the Elijah with his word to mankind, especially to his people. Amen. And he sent this word out August the 14th, 1967. And like I told you, I don't have a problem with dates because I want you to ask the Lord about it. If I didn't want you to ask the Lord about it, I'd try to be hideous about it. But I'm not going to try to be hideous. I'm going to be straight up with you on it. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to read one of these scriptures from here out of this message 85. And I ask that you would hear this. I know that just about mostly the majority, if not most of all you that's listening to the broadcast, know the Bible. So you don't have a word of the Lord to reckon with fight. I just ask that you give your undivided attention. And what I give to you, just ask Jesus about it. And like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, I gave you where you can call. Hey, and if you want to copy this message yourself, like I said, call and order. Okay? Like I said, 75 cents a dozen. Okay? Call and order. Amen. Now, I'm going to read to you what he said. He said, the Lord rested. And keep that word rested in mind. The Lord rested in the hands of evil men, and they caused to be brought about the plan of God. Redemption and the resurrection through the death of the human and the resurrection of himself to an example of life eternal. For all mankind, resurrection, but to many a ransom to all that hear and obey, enduring to the end that they might be saved. Now, notice it says in the scripture there that the Lord rested in the hands of evil men, okay? He rested. Now, according to Webster, the word rested means to cease from action or motion. To cease from action or motion. Now, he said the Lord rested in the hands of men. He ceased from action or motion, okay? In other words, he let man do what they did, but for a purpose. Okay. You remember when they came to get Jesus and Jesus let them know he could call down what? Legion of angels? But see, he didn't do it. Why? Because he let them do what they did for a purpose. Okay. And according to the word of the Lord here, the Lord rested in the hands of evil men and they caused to be brought about the plan of God. That's why many things you'll find out that when man is doing certain things to you, and let's say God allows it, many times there's a purpose behind it. And sometimes we don't understand. But it comes and manifests to itself as we hold on in Christ. Okay? Amen. You may be on your job and your leaders or your bosses may be doing you low down and dirty and it seems like it's happened for a while. You talk to the Lord about it and ain't been no change. But many times when the Lord permitted to let it go on, God has a purpose behind it. They meant it for evil, but God is going to turn it around for good. Okay? So they got an evil intention behind it. But the Lord many times has seen your words and said, be patient, my child. I got this. That means that he finna bring something about. They was doing the thing to you and thinking like, oh, we got you. We're doing the do on you. And then all of a sudden, boom. When the plan of God come out throughout, then they mouth fly wide open and they like, man, you know, it's just like the devil who claimed that he's so smart. He actually real dumb because he don't realize when he was moving upon man and getting man to do his stuff, their stuff and crucifying Christ, he was putting the plan in motion. See, that's why the devil don't know everything. You think if he'd known that, he'd have been, oh, man, I don't want to do that. So he meant it for evil and thought he was getting over. But actually, he was helping the plan of motion that God had intended in mind to come about. Okay, so having said that, The Lord let man do what they did for a purpose, and it brought about the redemption and the resurrection, okay? The redemption and the resurrection. Now, he rested in the hands of man. So what did he do? In resting in the hands of man, what did he do? Well, let's take a look at that. Because like I said, this is all going to talk about what he did and what he suffered. Because this is your proof that he wants you to be healed. It's not, you know, when we say, well, dude, I want to know if Jesus wants me to be healed. Well, it's what he did, what he suffered is the proof. Okay, so he rested in the hand of men. So let's look at this a little bit further and dealing with what he did when he rested in the hands of man. Now, I want to give you a scripture here. Read the scripture here from the other book of the Lord called The Record of the Nephite. Now, once again, I gave you the heads up on it. I gave you the number in the beginning, what you can call to order the book if you want to look at it yourself. I know you don't have The Record of Nephite for most of you that's listening. I just ask for your undivided attention, and whatever I read to you, ask Jesus, is it true? That's all I ask, okay? That's all I ask. I mean, you know, that's all I can ask. So that's all I ask. Okay, so let me read this scripture to you. Amen. And this scripture here come from the part of the book of the Record of Nephi of Mosiah, man of God here. And interesting enough that he talks about, it talks about here what Christ was going to do before he manifests in the flesh, okay? Amen. What would happen, what he would do when he, before he manifests in the flesh? See, just like in the Bible, the Lord gave Isaiah things to tell us about Christ before he came in the flesh, okay? And see, Jesus, our Lord God, witnessed to others about his plan of what he would do before he came in the flesh, okay? So here's another one. And actually, this man of God here that God witnessed to tell us this, his name is Abinadi. It comes from the part of the Record of Nephi called the Book of Mosiah. And it's this man named Abinadi, who's a man of God. And I want to read to you one of the scripture verses, what he said. Now, this is what he gave and told the people over here in this nation about in dealing with the plan of God, about what Jesus would do or allow or suffer before he came in the flesh, okay? Now, listen to this. He said, and thus the flesh becoming subject to the spirit or the son to the father, being one God, suffer temptation and yieldeth not to the temptation, but suffered himself, now here it is, but suffered himself to be what? Mocked and scourged and cast out and disowned by his people. So when the Lord rested in the hands of man, this is one of the things that he allowed. This is what he allowed. He allowed himself to be mocked, to be scourged, cast out, and disowned by his own people. Okay? And he allowed this that what? That the plan of redemption may come forth in redeeming us from what? One of the things of sickness. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, notice what I read to you in that verse there. He mentions mocked, disowned by his own people, cast out, but he also mentions scourged. The word scourged. Hallelujah. Scourge. Now, according to Webster, when you look up the word scourge, when you ask Mr. Webster, what does the word scourge mean? And one of the definitions that Webster tell you that the word scourge means whip, especially one used to inflict pain or punishment. So when Abinadi said that Christ was going to be whipped, by who? By man. Okay, he was going to be whipped. He was going to be inflicted with pain or punishment. It was for your healing. Hallelujah. See, remember, and the word of the Lord said what? He rested in the hands of man. And this brought about the plan of redemption. So, see, man thought they was getting over. And he actually, what he went through was for them, okay? That you may be delivered from sickness and disease, okay? So according to Webster, once again, the word scourge means whip, especially one used to inflict pain or punishment. Hallelujah. Now, let's see from the Bible where Jesus, Mark, and John also testified to this, to what Abinadi said, okay? So, let's go to Mark chapter 10, verse 34. Mark chapter 10, verse 34. Mark the 10, verse 34. Mark chapter 10, verse 34. Now I'm going to read, in fact, I'm going to read verse 32 to verse 34, okay? Mark chapter 10, verse 32 to verse 34. Thank you, Lord. Look what the word of God says. Mark chapter 10, verse 32 to verse 34. And it says, and they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. Okay, now he's telling what's going to happen unto him. And saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. Okay. One of the things he suffered, remember, he rests in the hands of men. Now watch this. He said, and they shall mock him. Okay, that's what Abinadi said. And shall what? Scourge him. Wow. Spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. This is what he suffered when he rested in the hands of man. He allows himself to be scourged or whipped. Punishment being inflicted unto him by man. For what? For your healing. For your healing. Hallelujah. Let's go to Mark chapter 15. 15, chapter 15, verse 15. Mark writes this and testified it. Now, Jesus just testified he was going to be mocked and scourged. Okay? Even before he went through it, he told them, he said, this is going to happen to me. Let his disciples know what ahead of time, okay, what's going to happen. Because he know they were going to see this. And he was letting them know this is part of the plan. And see, that's what Jesus would do to you. But many times we forget that when he let us know, okay, this is part of the plan, blah, blah, this is going to happen, and we forget about it. And so when we see that certain thing happen, then we lose all faith. Mark chapter 15, verse 15, look what it said. And so Pilate, willing to content the people or satisfy the people, release Barabbas unto them and deliver Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. See, Jesus was scourged. He was whipped. Amen. Whipped. Scourged for your healing, okay? Hallelujah. Now, this word scourge here, when you look up the original Greek word that was translated scourge here, you know what it means? It means to whip. That is, lash as a public punishment. See when they whipped Jesus, beat Jesus, and whipped him with the whips, see, it was done in public. It was done in front of the people. Okay? It was done in front of the people. This wasn't stuff done in the private. It was done in front of the people. Now, if you look up the history on those whips, when What did they do back in the time of the Roman soldiers and all that? What did they do when they scourge you and whip you with a whip? Well, when they hit you with a whip, at the end of it had these things, what they called, they called them cattails. And they was like little hooks. So when they hit you with that whip, that hook stuck in your skin, and when they snatched it, it snatched your skin. Could you imagine that? Well, guess what? He went through that for your healing. So when he was scourged, scourging not just being whipped with a whip, but it was a whip that had at the end of it these kind of hook-like, claws-like thing that when it hit your skin, it stuck in your skin, and when they snatch it, it's like snatching through your skin. Amen. So it said here that Pilate scourged him. He whipped him. He lashed him as a public punishment. He did it in front of the people. Man, could you imagine that? Like I said, it wasn't in private, okay? This was for your healing. Now, Jesus went through all that. How is we saying he wants us to be sick, and he go through all this for your healing? How are we saying that? Okay, let's go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And this may be the last one where we cut it off. Lord say the same. John chapter 19, verse 1. John chapter 19, verse 1. Okay? John chapter 19, verse 1. Look what the word of God says. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Now John is witnessing to this. And here's another unique thing about the word scourge here in this verse. See, the word scourge in the Greek, it actually has two Greek words. And this is the second Greek word that was translated scourge here. And it means to flog, to F-L-O-G, to flog, literally or figuratively means scourge. Okay. Now you might say, well, what do flog mean? Well, according to Webster, the word flog means to beat with or as with a rod or whip. Okay. So Pilate had that done. Because see, the word of God tells it, see, Jesus rested in the hands of men, and they brought about the plan of redemption. And see, they thought, we getting over on Jesus. We got the control. We beating him with this whip. But actually, that's one of the things he did in resting in the hands of man. That was being done, that the plan of redemption, the part of redeeming us from sickness and disease may come about. Why? Because he was taking it upon himself. That was for our healing. Okay? He was taking that pain. He was taking pain of body for our healing. Because guess what? That's what sickness and disease does to you, don't it? Sickness and disease don't bring you no ease and no comfort in your body. It brings pain in your body. Right? So when he was being beaten with those lashes, with those cattails at the end of it, and going through that pain, that was for the pain of body for us, that he may deliver us and set us free from sickness and disease that does what? Bring pain of body to you. Now, how much more proof, you know, do we need? Now, we're going to stop it here today on this part two, and no doubt there's going to be a part three. Lord said the same next week. Way things going, maybe I may have to call it as next Monday, okay? But like I told you, this health, healing, sickness, and disease has different sections. We're dealing with part two of health, healing, sickness, and disease, Jesus will. This is part two today. And I'm just going through the scripture and showing you that what Jesus suffered was for your healing. Therefore, he's showing you he don't want you to be sick. He can't even redeem you from the curse of the law. If he wanted you sick, that would have made no sense to go through this right here for your healing. So anybody, I don't care what church they belong to, you know, how many years they said, quote, they've been in the Lord, if they come and feeding you some stuff telling you that Christ wants you sick and it's God's will for you to be sick, then this is what I tell you to do. Say to them, I love you, and turn around and leave. Okay? They're wrong. And a message like that can only kill you. Could you imagine somebody on a sick bed and need a healing, and the person coming there and say, "My child, this is God's will. Let God's will be done." Okay, who they supposed to have faith in after that message? I mean, they may have heard most of their life that God is the strong one. And here you is saying that he is his will for this person to be in this condition. Well, who they supposed to believe? Who they supposed to have faith in? Who, you know, it takes somebody stronger than God for you to have faith in to overcome it. Who's stronger than him? Nobody. So really, you didn't just about kill them, okay? You didn't just literally kill them. And like I said, I really realize some people in their ignorance, okay? And when you're dealing with ignorance, you got two parts in that. You got ignorant and you got willingly ignorant. Some people are willingly ignorant. In other words, they don't want to know nothing else. On purpose, they want to be ignorant. And they think that it's comfortable for them and protection for them, but they find out even for the long run give out that it ain't. Okay? Ain't going to be no protection on that. You thinking that what I don't know don't hurt me, well, that's lying. Because I can prove that in the physical. I mean, how many times you been to the doctor because you had a pain in your body, you didn't know what was causing it, or you were hurting somewhere, or hey, you may have been feeling a certain way, okay? But it was distressing you, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. You went to the doctor and tried to find out what it was. So that what you don't know won't hurt you, that don't ride. It don't even ride to your front porch from your front door, okay? It ain't moving. It holds no weight, okay? Amen. So we're grateful to the Lord today for this word. We thank God for what he has done, and let us pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the blessed word of the Lord. We thank you for this day you made and created. Thank God for what you're doing and what you're going to do in Jesus' name for the glory of God. So, Lord God, I thank you for the chance to give the word to your people today. In Jesus' name, and all glory and honor and praise go unto you, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. So, thank God for all you've been listening. Lord, say the same. Tomorrow, I will be back with Health, Healing, Sickness, and Disease, The Devil's Wheel, Part 2. Look for the advertisement tomorrow. I know this is a new time I've come on today, but I had some things to come up. And like I said, don't worry about it. This is not going to be every time, okay? Our normal times is 7 o'clock. We have not totally gone away from that, but sometimes when certain things come up and I need to do a broadcast, you may hear me at another time. This is why it's important. I say that when you come on and listen on this page and you see the word follow, click the button follow, and it's going to ask for your email information and all that, and put that in. And the reason why you're doing that, because whenever we do a broadcast, it would alert you to the time, okay? So glory be to God. So once again, thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.